And we're holding on Chof Amud Aleph about halfway down the narrow line, the line begins Borrego. We talked about in the Mishnah about the about how long a person has, if a person is sitting Shiva before Yom Tov, how long does he, how much of Avelos, how much of Shiva does there have to have been before Yom Tov for us to say that Yom Tov cancels Shiva? So we said in the Mishnah 3 days. So now let's talk a little more detail about that. Tana Rabbanan, Kiyum Kfiyas Amita Shloisha Yomim Kodim Aregel. If a person kept the one of the things we said that an oval does is Kfiyas Amita. We're going to talk about it in more detail later on in the parak, but it involves turning the bed over and sleeping on the underside of it. We don't do that. That's one of the things of Avelus we don't do nowadays. Tosfos points out later on in the parak that the reason, there's a couple of reasons for it. One is because it's such an unusual thing to do, to turn over your bed. The goyim, among whom we live nowadays, are going to think we're doing witchcraft against them or something, and therefore, so therefore they stop doing it. Another point that Tosfos makes and that other Rishonim make is that our beds are actually constructed differently than the ones in the times of the Gemara. The ones in the times of the Gemara, we learned earlier in the Masechta, they had a frame of, they had a wooden frame, and then they would weave ropes around, they would weave ropes around the frame to make a netting, and then they would put the mattress on top of that. So therefore, it made sense. You turn over the bed, then you have the side with the ropes on top, and you have you don't have the bed posts don't stick up above the mattress, whereas our beds are generally made in a way where the bed posts stick up above the sides, and you don't have ropes. You use something else. Nowadays we have a box spring. I don't know what they had in the times of Tosfos, but whatever. The point is they're not constructed the same way, and therefore turning them over wouldn't really accomplish the same thing. But in any case, in the times of the Gemara, they did do this Kriyas Hamita, this turning over of the bed. So if a person did that Shlosha Yomim Kodem HaRegel for 3 days before the Yom Tov, Einat Tzarich L'chpois Acha HaRegel Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says in that case he does not have to do Kriyas Hamita. He doesn't have to turn over the bed again after Yom Tov, because as we said, Yom Tov then cancels Shiva for him. The Chum say you don't need 3 days. All you need, even 1 day, even 1 hour, one short amount of time is enough to be yotze that. An interesting point that the Ravid makes when a number of Rishonim bring it in his name is what we're saying is at least we're talking about that he did Kfiya Samita, or he did one or another of the manifestations of Avelos, of the things that an oval has to do or is not allowed to do, as the case may be. But if he hadn't done any of them, then we don't say that Yom Tov cancels the Shiva. And so that's brought lahalacha. So in other words, for example, to put it, nowadays we don't do kriya samita, but the same way, for example, if a person did not tear kriya, did not stop wearing leather shoes, did not stop bathing, anything, and then Yom Tov comes, then no, Shiva is not canceled for him, then no, he's going to have to keep the full Shiva after Yom Tov. We're talking about over here where he did at least some of them. So fine, we're not saying he has to do every single one, but he did one of them. So that's enough already for Yom Tov to cancel Shiva for him. Anyway, continues the Braisa. Amar Abulazar Reb Shimon, Hein Hein Divrei Bes Shammai, Hein Hein Divrei Bes Hillel. You should know this machloikas of the Eliezer and the Chachamim is exactly the same machloikas as Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel. Which I guess, I mean, Rabbi Eliezer was a Talmud of Shammai, and the other Chachamim were mostly Talmudim of Hillel, so it makes sense. But in any case, so Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shimon wants us to know that this is actually an older machlokes of Shammai and Basilel. So Bes Shammai emir shloshi yomim, or Basilel emir afilu yom echad. Bes Shammai says you need 3 full days. Basilel says it's enough to have 1 day of Avelos to cancel for Yom Tov to cancel the Shiva. And again, since we said before there was a concept called Mikta Sayyem Kakolai, then it can mean even less than 1 full day. So that's the Gemara continues. Others say Omar Le Rab Yechanan Rab Chiya Ba Abba. Another version is that Rab Yechanan said to Rab Chiya Ba Abba Ula Rab Huna, as a Lahu, really it should be, that according to that version, Omar Lahu Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Chiya Abba or Rabbi Hona. According to this version, Rabbi Yechanan said it to both of them together. Agoy Sabach brings yet another possibility that Rabbi Yechanan said to Rabbi Chiya Abba, who in turn said to Rabbi Hona. Anyway, afilu yom echad, afilu shah achas. You don't even need one full day. All you need is even one day, and all you need is even 1 hour, or shah in Gemara terminology doesn't always mean an hour, just means a short amount of time, and that's already considered to be that now you've kept the dinim of avelos, or some of the dinim of avelos, and now that's it, yom tov cancels it. So who is the halacha like? Rava ama halacha katana di dan da ama shloisha. So Rava says the halacha is like Tana Didan. So usually Tana Didan literally means our Tana. Usually it means the Tana of the Mishnah. Rashi over here actually says Hainu Tana de Braisa, namely the Tana of the Braisa. Now we talked about yesterday in connection with the Mishnah. We were talking about when the Mishnah had said 3 days. We had a note in where we said in the Mishnah. We had Rashi was explaining when the Mishnah had said regolin mafsikin ve'enin oilin that yomim tovim cancel shiva or shloshim, but they don't count toward the days of it. So Rashi gave one example over there that if a person's relative passed away during yom tov, then the yomei regol don't count. He's supposed to start sitting shiva after yom tov. And according to the Mishnah that had said that you need 3 days, then by the same token, if let's say you only had 2 days of Avelos before Yom Tov, then you'd have to complete the other 5 after Yom Tov. Then there was a note in Rashi saying, Vani Oymakitos Soifahu, saying, I say that this is a mistake because the fact is you don't need Shlosha Yomim, Shah Achas is enough. So now, so we said over there in the Mishnah that Hagois, that Hagoyis Abach and Gilyon Ashas say that can't possibly be from Rashi. We see clearly in our Gemara over here that the Tana of our Mishnah says 3 days, because that would be the usual meaning. When we say Tana Didan, our Tana would mean that our Tana, meaning the Tana of the Mishnah, says 3 days. So in that case, then how could you possibly say that our Mishnah means Lav Davka, and in fact it means less than 3 days is also. So here's where Hagorisma Rav Ranchburg says, you can see it on the bottom of the Omud, that in fact Rashi learns that in fact maybe that note is in fact from Rashi, or at least from whoever composed what we have printed over here as Rashi on Moed Cotton. And in fact, maybe even so Tana Didan in this case would be the Tana of the Braisa, who very clearly says 3 days, and here we have to say that it means 3 days literally. So Rava would be saying the halacha is like that, but that's why Rashi would be using the expression that Tana Didan means Tana de Braisa, because he might be following that shitta that in that note on the Mishnah that says that the Tana of our Mishnah does not necessarily say that you need 3 days. Anyway, so Rava is saying the halacha is like that, Da'oma Shloisha, that you need 3 days. On the other hand, the Gemara says, Ravina Ikla was Sura de Pras. On the other hand, Ravina one time visited the city of Sura de Pras. This is not the regular city of Sura that's mentioned all over the place in Shas. It's rather a different Sura, which was distinguished by the fact that it happens to be located on the Pras River. Anyway, Omale Rav Chaviva LeRavina. So when he was there, Rav Chaviva asked him, Hilchas Amai, what is the halacha about, about this? Do you need 3 days or not? Omalei, so he tells him, like we said, what the Chachamim said in the Braisa that we just quoted, and like Rabbi Yochanan said, afilu yom echad, afilu shah achas, that it's enough even 1 day, it's enough even 1 hour, and then shiva is canceled. Okay, so that's it. So that's the halacha. That is the final halacha. That as long as there was some amount of shiva before Yom Tov, and we're saying, like the Ravid says, as long as the person actually kept the dinim of Shiva at least for some amount of time before Yom Tov, then Yom Tov cancels it. If not, then Shiva is suspended over Yom Tov and begins only after it. Okay. The Gemara now, so now a new topic, well, not really a new topic, but a new discussion. The Gemara says, Yosef Reb Chia Ba'aba, Reb Ami, Reb Yitzchak Napcha, Akila Reb Yitzchak Ben Elazar. These three Chachamim, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba, Rab Ami and Rab Chiba Abba, Rab Ami and Rab Yitzchak were all sitting by the porch of Rab Yitzchak ben Elazar. Nafak Milsa b'minayhu, and while they were sitting over there, a discussion came out from between them. In other words, they were talking with each other, and the following discussion came out. Minayin la avelos shiva. How do we know that avelos lasts for 7 days? So now, okay, I mean, derabanan, you could just say the chachamim set up, derabanan, the chachamim just set up 7 days, and that's that. But we want to source for it in a pasuk. Now, Tosfos points out, you have already when Yosef, when they go to bury Yaakov, it says, Vayas lo'oviv evil shivas yomim, that they had a mourning period of 7 days. However, we have a concept called Ein Lemeidin, the code of Matan Torah. We do not learn from things that happened before Matan Torah, because there's a concept called Mitna Torah and Eschadja Halacha. Once the Torah was given, we have a whole new Halacha. So what happened before that, unless it was re-given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, then it's not in effect. Incidentally, in that connection, for example, the Rambam talks about, let's say, when we talk about, let's say, Bris Milah, or other mitzvahs that were given before Matan Torah. When we keep Bris Milah nowadays, it's not fundamentally because Hashem gave it to Avraham Avinu, because again, then we would say Ein Lemeidin Mekodem Matan Torah. It's rather because after Matan Torah, Hashem told us again in Parashas Tazria, Vayom Hashmini Yimo B'Sar Olasoi, and by that we confirmed that the mitzvah that he gave to Avraham is still in effect for us. But so over here with Avelos, you don't have that, even though it says Vayas La'oviv Evel Shivas Yomim, it was not given again by Matan Torah. So where do we have 7 days? So Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'hafachti Chageichem La'evel, I will turn your Yomim Tovim into mourning. From which we learn, Mach Chag Shiva, just like a Yom Tov, Pesach and Sukkot, lasts for 7 days. Tosfos says, what about the wings from the Yerushalmi? What about Sukkot is actually eight? But the answer is Shmini Atzeres is a separate Yom Tov, and therefore we still only have seven. So just like 7 days for Yom Tov, Af Avelos Shiva, the same way Avelos lasts for 7 days. So the Gemara says, so why are we comparing Dafka to those long Yom Tovim? The Ema Atzeres to Chad Yoma, maybe better compare it to Shavuos, which is only 1 day. And the Ritva points out there would be an advantage in that in that we would then say tafasta merubah loy tafasta, the usual rule that the Gemara says that when if you can compare it to something shorter or to something longer, we would rather compare it to something shorter. So why don't we say that we learn from that avelus is only 1 day? And the answer is ahum mibayle lechidur shlokish. You're right. We do actually compare it to Shavuos as far as the din that Rish Lakish says. The Amar Shlokish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesiya Minayin L'Shmur Rechoyka She'ain in a Heges Ela Yoymechad. How do we know that a Shmur Rechoyka, which means when a person finds out only after 30 days have passed that his relative passed away? So when a person finds out at the time or within 30 days, then they do the full Shiva and Shloshim. But if a person finds out the news only after 30 days, then they only keep 1 day of Avelos, as we're going to talk about soon. So that, how do we know? As the pasuk says, I'll turn your yom tovim into mourning. Meaning, and so we see that there is such a thing as 1 day yom tov, namely Shavuos. So therefore, so that gives us a basis for saying that. Which it comes out, in other words, that's why the ritual says. Therefore, the pasuk says chageichem in the plural. So it means we're comparing the different kinds of yom tovim. 7 days as far as regular Shiva, and 1 day as far as Shmur Rechoyka. Obviously, again, we're saying that all of this is Dirabbanon. We're saying that these are the psukim, that this is the pasuk that the Chachamim used as an asmachta for the takana that they made. So now let's talk about those dinim in more detail. Let's talk about those dinim of Shmur Rechoyka. So Tanan Abanan, Shmur Rechoyka Neheges, Shmur Kroiva Neheges Shiva, when you have a near report, in other words, when a person finds out within 30 days that their relative passed away, so then Neheges Shiva, so then you keep 7 days of, Shiva as usual. Neheges Shiva or Shlosh. Shmur Rechoyka, when you have a far away one, meaning you only found about it after 30 days, then you keep it for only 1 day. And again, as the Gemara is going to say later, since we say with Avelus, so it comes out, you don't even need full 1 day. It's enough to have part of a day, as we're going to talk about later. Ezohi krova the ezohi rechoka. So what is considered krova and what's rechoka? Krova b'serch shloshim. A shmur krova means that you found out within 30 days. Rechoka la'acha shloshim. A shmur rechoka means that you found it out after 30 days. Dibre Rabbi Akiva. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. V'chamim omrim. So Rabbi Akiva is the one who's saying that not the before and after 30 days, that concept of Shmur Krova and Shmur Rechoka, everybody agrees to, but Rabbi Akiva is the one who says that a Shmur Rechoka, you would do Avelos for only one day. It doesn't matter whether it's Krova or Rechoka, it doesn't matter whether you found out within 30 days or after it. Either way, you need to keep Avelos for the full Shiva and the full Shloshim. So, who's the halacha like? Omer Rav Baba Chana, Omer Rav Yechanan. Kol mokam shata moitzi yochid meko v'rabi machmirin. Any time where you find a yochid is being lenient and the rabbim are being strict, halacha k'rabim, then the halacha is like the rabbim. Actually, Tosfos points out, it doesn't mean just that. It means anyway. It means whether the yochid is meko v'machmir, whether the rabbim are meko v'machmir. It just so happens that over here, the yochid, which is Rabbi Akiva, is meko, and the rabbim, which is the chachamim, are machmir. So we always say the halacha is like the rabbim. Chutz mizu, with the exception of this case over here. Sha'af al-pisha, Rabbi Akiva meko v'cham machmirin, even though Rabbi Akiva is a yochid, and he is being machmir, even though he's being meko, nevertheless, and the chamma being machmir against him, halacha ke Rabbi Akiva. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Yechanan, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. Jo'om ha-shmol halacha ke divra meko be'evil. Because, as we've said the rule previously, Shmuel says the halacha is like the more lenient opinion when it comes to Avelos. And since Rabbi Akiva over here is the more lenient opinion, so we don't care that he's a Das Yochid, we still say the halacha is like him, and therefore, for Shmuel Rechoka, it's only one day. So the Gemara tells, Rabbi Chanina asked Shmuel d'avur mibei chozoi. Rabbi Chanina received news that his father had passed away in Bei Chozoi. Bei Chozoi is an area nowadays. It's part of Iran. It's basically the area of Iran near the Persian Gulf. Anyway, it was a far distance away from Babel. And there are places where the Gemara says that it took 6 months to get from there to Babel. So by the time the news came to him, it was already a Shmur Rechoka. So he came to Rav Chista to ask what he needed to do. So Rav Chista told him, like we just said, Shmur Rechoka, in a Heges, Elo Yem Echad, you only need to do Avelos for only one day, because it's a Shmur Rechoka. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rav Nosson Bar Ami, Asile Shmur De'ime Mibei Chazoi. Similarly, Rav Nosson Bar Ami got news, which was a Shmur Rechoka, that his mother had passed away in Bei Chazoi. Same thing. Also, the Kameda Rava, so he came to Rava to ask what the halacha is. Omalei, and Rava says to him, Harei Omo Shmur Rechoka, Einan Ehegas Ela Yemechad Bavad. We just said that it's only one day, so therefore we only have to keep one day. But the twist is over here, Eisvei, that unlike with Rav Chanina, we said he accepted what Rav Chista said, and that was that. But here, the reason why the Gemara is bringing that it happened with Rav Nosson Bar Ami as well is because Rav Nosson Bar Ami actually asked a question on Rava that it seems to contradict the Braisa. The Braisa says, "Bamed v'ram amurim." When is this talking about? That we say that Shmur Rechoka, you have to keep Avelos for only one day, is b'chamisha meisei mitzvah, is only with 5 out of 7 meisei mitzvah. The meisei mitzvah over here are the relatives that it says at the beginning of Parashas Emor that a Kohen can become Tomei for. We call them meisei mitzvah because it's a mitzvah for him to become Tomei and be involved in burying them. So those 7 relatives are his father, his mother, his wife, his brother, his unmarried sister, his son, or his daughter. So the Braisa is saying that this concept that a Shmur Rechoka is that a Shmur Rechoka you keep only one day Avelos only applies to 5 out of 7. Aval al aviv al imay. But the Braisa says when it comes to a person's father or mother, Shiva or Shloshim, then you have to keep full Shiva and full Shloshim, even if it's a Shmur Rechoka. So what are you telling me, Rava, that even though this was my mother who passed away, still I only have to keep one day? Omalei. So Rava answers him, Yechidahi, that Braisa is only according to a Das Yochid, v'loi Svidolon Kavasei. So we don't hold like it. And where do we see it's a Das Yochid? In fact, Tosfos points out, before we had the Chachamim, arguing against Rabbi Akiva. And we're going to have now in a Braisa, actually, we're going to have a Skenim. Still, we're saying that we're calling it a Das Yachid in the sense that either we said because we either we treat it like a Das Yachid because we said before the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva. So even though in fact the Chachamim are the majority against him, nevertheless we would say that we ignore that and we say the Halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, as if this was a Das Yachid. Or the Tosfos HaRosh points out that maybe what the Gemara means is even though there were Chachamim in the plural before who disagreed with Rabbi Akiva, and now also in this Braisa that we're going to quote now, we have Skenim, maybe in fact the number of Chachamim who disagreed with that and agreed with Rabbi Akiva is even larger, and therefore relative to them, the ones who are Machmir or Yechidim. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Maiso mes aviv sharab tzadik beginzek. It happened once that Tzadik's father passed away in Ginzek, which is also very far away from Eretz Yisrael. They only informed Rav Tzadik 3 years later. So he went to ask Elisha ben Avuya. This is the famous Elisha ben Avuya, who we're going to learn a lot about in Chagiga in a few weeks. Bez Hashem, the one who later on is Acher, but here we're talking about obviously when he was still a Talmid Chacham. So they went and asked. So Rav Tzadik went and asked him, Uzkenim she'imai, as well as the other Chachamim who were with him. V'amru, and they said, Nahoig Shiva u'shloshim. Yeah, even though it's 3 years later, you have to keep Shiva and you have to keep Shloshim. So that opinion says that you would have to. But Rava is telling Rav Nosson Ba'ami, the halacha is not like that. That is considered to be a das yachid, and the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva we said before, who says that always for a shmur rechoka you only need 1 day. So even though it's your mother, nevertheless you still only need 1 day. So the Gemara continues. Uchshemes b'noisha Rabbi Achia b'goyla, when Rabbi Achia's brother passed away, when Rabbi Achia's son passed away in the Goyla. Goyla is sometimes used in the Gemara as a generic term for Babel, or more specifically for the city of Nahada or Pupadissa, which was the center of Jewish life in Babel. So the Braisa is saying, when Rabbi Achia's son passed away in the Goyla in Babel, and he only found out much later, Yoshaval of Shiva Shloshim, so he sat Shiva and Shloshim for him, because he held, like the Chachamim that we just said, who hold that you need to do that. But now we're saying that the Halacha is not in fact like that. So the Gemara says, Eini, is that so that Rabbi Achia did that? That when he had a Shmur Rechoka, he did Shiva Shloshim? We're going to bring a proof to the contrary from a story involving Rabbi Achia. The Gemara at this point is assuming that Rabbi Chia and Rabbi Achia are the same person, which is a reasonable enough supposition. The same way as, for example, you have in the Yerushalmi, a lot of times you have names of Tanoim and Amoroim where an Aleph a lot of times is omitted from the beginning of their names. You have many times in the Yerushalmi, for example, where Rabbi Eliezer is called in the Yerushalmi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Elazar is called Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Abba is called Rabba, and so forth. So therefore, here also the Gemara is assuming that maybe Reb Chia is short for Reb Achia, and therefore that's the same person. So in that case, I'm going to show you an example where Reb Chia did not do that, where he kept only Shmur, where he kept only 1 day for Shmur Rechoka. Namely, the Gemara says, Rav Barachur de Reb Chia, Rav was the son of Reb Chia's brother, Yehu Bar Achse de Reb Chia, and he was also the son of Reb Chia's sister. So we talked about the other day, what happened was Reb Chia's parents had both been previously married and had children. Then their respective spouses passed away or divorced or whatever, and now the two of them married, and Reb Chia was there, and they had a son, Reb Chia. So now Reb Chia has a bunch of half-siblings from his father's side, a bunch of half-siblings from his mother's side. Those two sets of siblings are not related by blood in any way. So eventually one of the boys from one side named Ivu married one of the girls from the other side named Ima, and Rav was their son. So therefore, Rav was a double nephew of Reb Chia. He was a son of Reb Chia's half-brother and also a son of Reb Chia's half-sister. So now, What happened was, ki solik lahasam, when Rav moved from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Chiya by that time had been living in Eretz Yisrael for many years, so Rav Chiya wanted to know news of how his family is doing. Omalei, so he asked him, Abba Kayam, is father still alive? Rashi explains that by the word Abba, he means Aivu, which is Rav's father and Rav Chiya's half-brother. Now, in fact, he had passed away by that point. Rav didn't want to say that out openly. Omalei, Eima Kayemis. So he says, Rashi says that this was as a question. Eima Kayemis? Is Eima alive? In other words, after all, Rav is saying, listen, just as much as Aivu, my father, is your half-brother, just as much as that, Eima, my mother, is your half-sister. So why are you only asking about Aivu and not about Eima? Omalei, so Rav Chiya tells him, you're right, Eima Kayemis. Is Eima, in fact, still alive? Omalei, so Rav answers him, Abba Kayam, and is Abba still alive? Meaning I haven't yet answered you about that. So in other words, he was trying to deflect the question because, in fact, both of them had passed away, and he didn't want to be the bearer of bad news and tell Rav Chiya explicitly that both his brother and his sister had passed away. Tosfos brings a couple of other girsos and a couple of other explanations. So the Tosfos brings a girsa from Rabbi Hanano that Rav Chiya was asking about his own parents, which would be, therefore, Rav Chiya is asking about his own parents, which would be Rav's grandparents, and in each case, Rav is answering him about his own parents. So he's asking Abba Kayam, and Rav, meaning, is my father still alive? And Rav answers him, Abba Kayam, meaning my father is still alive, from which Rav Chiya can deduce that it means that his own father had since passed away. And the same thing with Ima. And which in that case, the idea would be, Tosfos says, the Gemara began with the introduction that Rav is Rav Chiya's nephew or double nephew, because the point is that therefore, at least Rav is bringing, not only he's not telling bad news to Rav Chiya that his own parents passed away, but he's also telling him good news, according to that his brother and sister, Rav's parents, are still alive. So according to that, that would be how the conversation went. And then Tosfos brings another girsa that which is more similar to the way we have in the Gemara over here. When he asks him Abba Kayam, he says Ima Kayemis. And when he says Ima Kayemis, he says Abba Kayam. But unlike Rashi, who says that he was saying them as rhetorical questions, according to this explanation, it would be that he's saying them as statements. That Rav Chiya is asking Abba Kayam. And Rav, rather than answering him and telling him that in fact he passed away, says that Ima, that my mother is still alive, and vice versa. In any case, the point is that regardless how we learn the conversation, the point is that now Rav Chiya realized that both the people he was asking about, his brother and his half brother and half sister, according to Rashi, or his parents, according to Tosfos, have since passed away. But it was a Shmur Achoike. It was a long time ago. Amar Leila Shame. So Rav Chiya says to his servant, Chaloit Liminolai, take my shoes off me, because we said one of the things that an Oval is not allowed to do is wear leather shoes. So take off my shoes in order that I can start Avelos. And then Vahulach Acharei Kelai LeBeis HaMelechot, and then carry my clothes after me to the bathhouse, meaning I want to go to the bathhouse. Now, he doesn't particularly need to bathe at that point, but he wanted to demonstrate the halacha, even though we said that an oval is not allowed to bathe, but he wants to show that after a short time of avelos, he will be allowed to bathe. So he wants to shema min atlas. So we can learn three dinim from this story of what Rav Chiya did. Number one, shema min oval osim in ilas asandol. Number one, and we see confirmation of what we learned in the beginning of the perek, that an oval is not allowed to wear leather shoes, because we see that that Rav Chiya is telling his servant to take off his shoes. Number two, we see what we were talking about on Amud Aleph, that a shmur rechoika, you only have to keep avelos for one day. And we see it doesn't even have to be for one day. It's enough to do a little bit of the one day, and then already it counts as the full thing. So that's why he's saying, once he's taken off his shoes, and thereby done at least one of the dinim of avelos, then now that's it. The avelos, after a short time, is over for him, and he can go to the bathhouse and bathe. Actually, Rishonim point out, they bring from Rabbi Yitzchok Ibn Gaius, who says a couple of other things we see from this. We see that you can rely on a relative to, we see that you can rely on a relative, and even when he's not saying directly, like Rav didn't say in so many words, that Rav Chiya's relatives have passed away, that you can rely on that in order to do avelus. And so we see that. We also he mentioned something else that we can see from this also, but I can't remember now what it is. But anyway, the point is that we don't mention that because those things are poshut. The Gemara didn't need to mention that. But this that we say that Shmur Rechoika, this that we say about Ne'ilas a sandal is not so simple. I mean, we learned it before at the beginning of the Perek from but still we want a confirmation that it actually is Noyig, and especially by Shmur, especially we wouldn't have known it applies to Shmur Rechoika. And we wouldn't have known. Now we have confirmation that of what we were saying, that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that Shmur Rechoika lasts for only one day, and that Miktas Yem Kekolai. The fact that he's able to rely on Rav's statement is a positive thing, and therefore the Gemara didn't even bother mentioning it. So the point is. The point is, the Gemara is asking, if we assume that Reb Chiya and Reb Achiya are the same thing, then we said in a braisa before that when Reb Achiya's son passed away in the Gola and he only found out after it was a Shmur Rechoika, then he kept full Shiva and full Shloshim. But here in this story, we see that Reb Chiya did not. And the answer is Reb Chiya Lechud, Reb Achiya Lechud. The answer is those are two different people. Reb Chiya holds that the halacha is like Reb Akiva, you need only Yom Echad. Reb Achiya holds like the Chachamim, who hold that you need full Shiva and full Shloshim. Okay. The Gemara says, more on this topic of Shmur Kroiva and Shmur Rechoika. Amar Reb Yosi Ba'ogin, Shama Shmur Kroiva Beregel. Suppose a person heard a Shmur Kroiva during Yom Tov. So Yom Tov itself was the 30th day. Olamatsoya Regel Nasis Rechoika. Now, obviously, he's not doing Avelos on Yom Tov itself. By the time Yom Tov is over, it's already a Shmur Rechoika. So we could have, it could be a one-day Yom Tov like Shavuos, and Shavuos was the 30th day, or for that matter, that he heard about it on the last day of Pesach, or on the last day, or on Shmini Atzeres. Or it could be that, for example, he heard about it at the beginning of Pesach, or the beginning of Sukkot, and so it was 23 days, and now by the time the Yom Tov is over, 30 days have passed. So then Rabbi Yosi Bar Oven says those days, even though he's not doing avelos during Yom Tov, those days count towards those days count, and he only has to keep one day. So even though at the time he heard it was a Shmur Kroiva, but now the Yom Tov counts as the 30th day or the 24th through 30th days, whatever. And now it's a Shmur Rechoika, and now he has to keep only one day of Shiva. And even we said not even one full day, but rather a short amount of time of it, like we said, Rav Chiya. Similarly, Tani Rav Ada Bidimin Kesri Kamed Rav Yechanan. Similarly, Rav Ada Bidimin Kesri taught a braise in front of Rav Yechanan. Shama Shmur Kroiva B'Shabbos. If a person heard a Shmur Kroiva on Shabbos, and then, of course, again, he's not doing avelos on Shabbos. So by the time Shabbos is over, it's already the 31st day. Same thing. Then he only has to keep one day of Shiva for the same reason, because now it is a Shmur Rechoika. So the question is now, Kireya or Eine Kireya? Does he have to tear Kriya, or does he not have to tear Kriya? Now, what's the situation we're talking about? So Rashi explains that we're talking about now when he has to keep a Shmur Rechoika, does he have to tear his clothes as part of that? So Tosfos teaches out that according to that, the question would be, in this particular case, where, after all, when he first heard about that his relative passed away, it was Kroiva, only because Avelos was suspended by Shabbos or by Yom Tov, only now is it a Shmur Rechoika, then maybe therefore he should have to tear Kriya when he's doing that one day or one short amount of time of Avelos. But Tosfos says that maybe by if it was a regular shmur d'chayka, like the cases we had before, we only heard about it after several months or after a couple of years or whatever, and it was stam a weekday, so then right away then, like Rav Chiya, he's doing avelus right away, maybe then he would not be required to do kriya at all. In fact, we see in the story of Rav Chiya before, we see it was his own parents, according to Rabbeinu Hananel anyway, that he found and passed away, and he still didn't tell kriya for them. On the other hand, Tosfos says maybe that's not a solid raya. So Tosfos discusses back and forth the question: does a person have to tear for shmur d'chayka? So that's one way of explaining the Gemara over here. Is we're asking about by this case of shmur kroiva v'nasis d'chayka, where when the person heard about it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov, it was still within the 30 days, and only afterwards did it become a shmur d'chayka. Maybe then we're discussing whether he has to tear kriya, implying that a regular shmur d'chayka he wouldn't have to, or there are Rishonim who learn that it means that no, the question is, regardless, by any Shmur Rechoika, does the person have to tear Kriya? And the idea would be, later on in the Perek, we're going to talk about that the Kriya is mainly supposed to be done B'Sha'as Chimum, at the time when your emotions are very hotly aroused about the fact that that a person's emotions are very aroused over the fact that their relative passed away. So maybe by the time it's a Shmur Rechoika, maybe it doesn't have the same effect, and therefore we shouldn't have to tear kriya. There's different opinions about it. So the halacha is that you don't. So Ramani Omar Enekereya, Ramani says you do not tear kriya. Again, according to Rashi and Tosfos, we're talking about specifically by Shmur Kroiva Vanasis Rechoika. According to the other Rishonim, we're talking about in general by a Shmur Rechoika. You don't tear kriya. Rab Chanina Omar Kereya, Rab Chanina says you do. Omar Le Ramani Le Rab Chanina. So now Ramani asks, "V'shleim l'didi damina ena kireya." I understand. According, things work out very well. According to me, that I say you don't tear kriya for in this case of shmur kriya v'nasis rechoika or just shmur rechoika, as the case may be. Hainu d'leika avelos shiva. Well, that explains why there's no avelos for full 7 days. In other words, those two things go together: no 7 days avelos, no kriya. But you, Reb Chanina, are saying that you tear kriya in this kind of case. Why? Kriya below shiva mi'ika? Is there such a thing as kriya without a velos of 7 days? Now, of course, the Ritva points out, sure there are. For example, later on in the Perek, we're going to talk about that a person has to tear kriya when his Rebbe passed away, or when a Nasi passed away, and then they don't sit full shiva. But we're talking about within a person's relatives, within a person's relatives for whom he sits shiva. So then kriya goes along with it. So the Mani is arguing no shiva for a relative. Why should there be a kriya? So the Gemara answers back the loy. Why ever not? I can give you an example where there's kriya without shiva. V'hatanya isi avur de Rav Zeira. Isi, the father of Rav Zeira, Torah Braisa. Others say that this Isi was not Rav Zeira's father, but rather his brother. Anyway, so either way, he taught a Braisa Kameh de Rav Zeira in front of Rav Zeira and in Rav Zeira's Beis Medrash. Misha ain like cholok l'kriya. If a person does not have a shirt to be able to tear for kriya. Now, what's the case where a person wouldn't have a shirt? So Rashi Ksavyad says, let's say, for example, he doesn't have any clothing. The Ritva says, come on, that's a doichet to do. You can talk about a din of a person who doesn't have any clothing. Rather, we're talking about, let's say, for example, that he borrowed clothing from somebody else. So therefore, he can't tear kriya on that clothing without the permission of that other person. Whatever the case, so he doesn't have at the time of the misa or the time of the kura, he doesn't have a shirt to be able to rip. Then he's damen loy b'seich shiva, but he gets a hold of a shirt during shiva kireya, then he tears kriya la'acha shiva ain't a kireya. But if he only gets the shirt after shiva, then he doesn't tear. And oni Rav Zeira basre, and Rav Zeira continued and finished off the brisa. So we said that Isi, his father or his brother, had quoted this brisa, but Rav Zeira continues that what you quoted is only part of the brisa. The brisa continues. But Bamed Varamamurim, when is that talking about? That you don't tear Kriya after Shiva when you didn't have a shirt available during Shiva. Bachamisha, Meisei Mitzvah, that would apply only by the other five meise mitzvah, meaning all the ones except for father and mother, like we said before. But when it's a person's father or mother that passed away, then even if he didn't tear kriya during shiva because he didn't have a shirt, available to tear, nevertheless he still does it after shiva. So you see that even though there's no shiva, because at this point shiva is over, he still does kriya according to this braisa. So what did Ramani mean when he said to Rav Hanina, don't those two things always go together, no shiva, no kriya? Here you have an example of kriya without shiva. The answer is kitanyahi lechvod over v'imay. That braisa doesn't mean that he has a mitzvah of kriya as part of the dinim of avelus. He has a mitzvah to do kriya to show honor for his parents that he's distressed over their death, and therefore that he's tearing kriya, but not that he's required to as the dinim of kriya. So that doesn't contradict Ramani's point that kriya goes together with shiva, and if there's no shiva, then there's no real kriya. Here he's just doing it l'chvod avivim. The halacha is like Ramani, that like we said before, that ene kereya. So therefore, for shmur rechoika, a person doesn't tear kriya, and in fact, that was why we saw before by Rav Chiya when he had a shmur rechoika that he in fact did not tear kriya. Okay, the Gemara says tana rabbanan. Let's talk more about this question of which relatives a person sits shiva for. Kol ha'omer parshas koyanim shekoyan mitamen lahen. All the ones that are listed in the section about the koyan, I mean, in the beginning of Parshas Emor, where it says that a koyan becomes tamei for them, ovo mis'abel aleihem. An ovo, also a regular person, whether a koyan or whether a Yisrael, has to sit shiva for them. The Elohim, so they are the following: Ishtoi, his wife; Ovo v'ima, his father and mother; Ochi v'achosai, his son and his daughter; and his son and his daughter. Now the Chachamim added to that there's other ones also that a Kohen wouldn't become tummy for them, but nevertheless a person still sits shiva for them. First of all, his brother or his unmarried sister from his mother's side only. So in other words, Daraisa, a Kohen would be when we talk about a Kohen becoming Tomei, he can become Tomei only for the burial of his brother from his father's side. If a Kohen has a half-brother from his mother's side, he's not allowed to become Tomei for him. So based on that, we would say you don't do Avelos for him either. Nevertheless, we're saying the Chachamim added that a person does Avelos for his half-brother or his half-sister from his mother's side. And Ba'achosin Yesua Ben Me'ovah Ben Me'imai, and also for his married sister, whether from his father or whether from his mother. So even though, again, the pasuk is saying a kohen is able to become tomei for his sister only when she's unmarried, only when she's achos absolah kareva elav, but midirabbanon, so the rabbanon don't override that as far as a kohen becoming tomei. Of course, they can't do that. But as far as avelus, we say avelus also applies when the sister was married. And the braisa continues, uchshem shemis abel aleihem, just as a person sits shiva for those relatives. Rabbi Akiva would say that by the same token, the person also sits avelos for their second degree relatives. Meaning the same way, for example, as a person sits shiva for his father, the same way Rabbi Akiva is saying he also sits shiva for his grandfather. And the same way as he would for his son, the same thing for his grandson, etc. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says it's not all the second level relatives, only for his grandson or his grandfather. So the expression is ben bnoi and avi aviv, which would mean the son of his son and the father of his father. However, Tosfos brings that it would mean also, Rav Shimon Elazar would say also, his mother's father or his daughter's son, or his daughter's daughter, rather. So for any of his grandparents, or any of his grandparents, or any of his relatives, Rav Shimon Elazar is saying a person would also sit shiva. But not the other ones, let's say, for example. So we said So we said a person sits shiva, for example, for when his brother passes away. So we wouldn't say, so the Tanakhama had, it's not the time, Rabbi Akiva had said that by the same token, he would also sit shiva if his nephew passes away, because his nephew is a second degree relative to him. It's his brother's son. Rav Shimon Elazar is saying no, for a nephew, a person wouldn't sit shiva. V'chamam oimim, kol shemis abel olav misabel imay. The Chum say anyone that you do avelus for him, you also do with him. Meaning, in other words, for example, that in other words, according to the Chachamim, it comes out that a person does sit shiva for all of these second level relatives. Because, in other words, what would let's say, for example, for his nephew, the Chachamim are saying, since your brother is sitting shiva, then and since your brother is sitting shiva, which of course he is, because it's his son who passed away. So therefore, by the same token, you would also would be sitting shiva together with him. So therefore, it comes out that it would include all the second level relatives, not just the grandparents and grandchildren, like Rav Shimon Elazar said. Because Rav says Chachamim Hainu Tanakama. Aren't the Chachamim then saying the same thing as the Tanakhama, Rabbi Akiva? Both of them are saying that all second-level relatives, as it's here before. The answer is, Ikabinayu Imoy Babais. There is a difference between them that the Chachamim are saying Imoy, that you sit shiva together with him, meaning only when you're with him in the house. The Tanakhama, Rabbi Akiva, says it doesn't matter. For example, let's say a person's brother is sitting shiva, it doesn't matter whether you're in the same house as him as not. Or not, since he's sitting shiva for his son or his daughter, then therefore you also have to sit shiva whether you're with him in the same house or not. That's Rabbi Akiva. Whereas the Chachamim are saying no, only when you're with him in the house, then you have to sit shiva out of covered for him, out of derech eretz for him. But otherwise not. Ki hod amalei Rav l'chiyah b'rei, as we find that Rav said to his son Chia. Similarly, Rav Huna gave similar instructions to his son Rava, that when their wives were sitting shiva, father-in-law or mother-in-law passed away, so now the wife, of course, is sitting shiva. So Rav and Rav Huna tell their children, when you're in your wife's presence, then also follow the dinim of avelus, because since she's an avelus, you need to be as well. But when you're not in her presence, you don't need to. So that's what we mean. In other words, the Chachamim against Rabbi Akiva and against Rabbi Shimon Elazar are saying that this concept of avelus for second level relatives, for example, in-laws, is only when you're in the presence of the oval themselves. So Tosfos discusses when it says ba'afa over here, does it mean literally when you're in the same room as her, or does it mean when you're in the whole house as opposed to when you're someplace else? Anyway, further in this connection, ma'ukva shochid le bar chamua. Now, by the way, so nowadays we don't know. Nowadays we don't do this. And the reason is, the Rishonim explain, since this whole concept of sitting shiva in the presence of your relative, for example, your wife, is only out of covet for her, so if she's moichel, then you don't need to. And nowadays we assume that the Avelim are moichel on that. So therefore, you don't have that the person's wife is sitting shiva, for example, that he should have to be following any of the dinim of shiva. So nowadays, this din that we're saying over here in the Gemara doesn't apply, because implicitly, she's moichel and not requiring you to do that. So the Gemara says in this connection, ma'ukva shochav le bar chamua, ma'ukva's brother-in-law passed away. Bar chamua means the son of his father-in-law, so that would be his brother-in-law, his wife's brother. Savor l'meisiv alei shiva u'shloshim. So ma'ukva thought that he has to do shiva and shloshim because he has to do like Rabbi Akiva said, second level relatives. Old Rav Huna Lagabe, Rav Huna came to visit Marukva, Ashkeche, and he found him sitting shiva over his brother-in-law. Omalei, so Rav Huna tells him, Sudnaisa boys for Mechel, what are you looking to eat the food that they bring for the oval? In other words, you don't have to sit shiva for this. Loi Omer, L'chvoid Ishtei, Elachome v'chamoisei. Even this concept of sitting shiva for the covet of your wife only applies when one of her parents passed away. In this case, it's her brother, so even in her presence, you don't have to sit shiva. Netanya, as in fact, we learn in a braisa, A person whose brother, a person whose father-in-law or mother-in-law passed away, he can't force his wife during that time, during her shiva, to be putting on a choil, which is eyeshadow, or pekeses. We talked about earlier in the Masechta what pekeses means. A couple of possibilities. It can mean to comb or part her hair. It can mean to put some kind of treatment on her skin that makes her cheeks red. Whatever it is, in other words, she's in shiva, so she's not wearing jewelry or she's not wearing makeup or whatever. And the husband can't tell her you have to put it on because otherwise you're not looking attractive to me. On the contrary, Ella Koifa Mitase, on the contrary, he turns over his bed. Like we said before, but Fiesa Mita, okay, we don't do it nowadays, but in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, they did. So he turns over his bed, Vinoig Ima Avelos, and he follows the dinim of Avelos, he sits shiva together with her. What we see, the Braise is saying, only if his father-in-law or mother-in-law passed away. Similarly, if her father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away, so this is her husband's parents, same thing. She's not allowed to put on makeup during that time, because even though she's not in Avelus, still her husband is. So she turns over her bed as well. And she follows the dinim of Avelus together with him. So we see. In other words, and Vatanya Iga. Now, on the other hand, so far, you could say that Braisa is not exact, even though it mentions Chomiv and Chamoisai and Chamia and Chamoisa. Maybe, in fact, it doesn't mean only parents-in-law. Maybe it means other in-laws as well. But it's interesting, by the way, the shift in language between Chumash, between Tanakh and the times of the Gemara. In Chumash, you actually have different words for a man's in-laws than you do for a woman's in-laws. You have, for example, Yisrei Choisei Moshe. So the words for a man's in-laws in Tanakh are Choisen and Choisenes. The Chom and Choma are for the woman. It seems that by the times of the Mishnah and the times of the Gemara, it had shifted, and they weren't using the word choisen and choisenes anymore. They used the words chom and choma exclusively for both the husband's parents and the wife's parents. Anyway, so v'tanya idach, we learn in another braisa. So we said that in the case where his wife is sitting shiva, then he can't force her to put on makeup during that time because she's in Avelus. Nevertheless, Be'emes Omru, in truth they said, and whenever we have something that says Be'emes Omru, means it's halacha l'moshe misinai, it's an unquestioned halacha. During that time, she can still pour or mix him a cup of something to drink, of wine or whatever, and make his bed, and wash his face, hands, and feet. Those are all things which usually a wife does specifically for her husband, and those things, in fact, are considered. They show great affection between the husband and the wife. For that reason, nobody else is allowed to do it for the husband other than his wife, even if they have maid servants or whatever. And by the same token, those are the things that the wife is not allowed to do while she's nidda, because it's going to bring closeness between them, and then they may end up having relations. But here we're saying, even though she's in Avelus, nevertheless, she still does these things. Now, machetzes leponav yad v'raglav, in particular, means that she's using hot water, Tosfos points out. Because if she was using cold water, then she doesn't need to say that she's washing his face, hands, and feet. She herself would be allowed to rinse off her face, hands, and feet in cold water. So kashin adadi. So you have a contradiction between the two braises. The contradiction is, number one, so Rashi explains the contradiction is, the first braisa had said that when she's in Avelos, he also has to turn over his bed. He's turning over his bed, then you're not making it. On the other hand, the second braisa is saying that she makes his bed, implying that his bed is the right side up. And then based on Tosfos and other Rishonim, the contradiction is that the first braisa said that he has to follow the dinim of Avelos with her, implying therefore that he's not allowed to wash in hot water. And here we're saying she can bathe his face, hands, and feet, which implies in hot water. So anyway, so the braises are contradictory. Ela lav shmamina. So obviously, the first brisa that mentioned chomim v'chamosa and chomia and chamosa is exact. Kan chomim v'chamosa, kan b'shar krovim. One applies to his father-in-law and mother-in-law when they pass away. Then the husband sits shiva together with his wife. Kan b'shar krovim. Whereas the other one is talking about when she's in avelus for any of the other relatives. Shmamina. So that proves it. So therefore, that's what Rav Huna is telling Ma'ukva. Even if you hold according to the opinions that say that you have to, that even if you say that you have to do avelus in your wife's presence, but nevertheless, that would only apply when if it's one of her parents that passed away. In this case, it was her brother, so you don't need to at all. And in fact, we learn like that in a braisa. This concept that for the kavod of his wife, he has to join in shiva, only applies if one of her parents passed away, not if any of her other relatives pass away. So again, we said nowadays we're not knowing that because we assume that the oval is moichel on their kavod and isn't going to require that. So we'll stop over here. However, I should point out, yesterday when we were learning the Gemara, Daf Yutes, I skipped an entire section, not realizing. Hopefully in the future, people are following along inside. And if I accidentally skip like that, then people will mention it to me. But anyway, so let's turn back to Daf Yutes and learn that part quickly, which we left out. We were talking over there about the dinim of Chalamoyed. It's about a quarter of the way down the Omud by the two dots, the Toval Yurechit Chelas. The Mishnah had said over there that on Chalamoyed, we said you're not allowed to write Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, etc. Rabbi Yehuda had said that v'tovah yurech tchelas tzitzisoy, that a person is allowed during Chalamoyed to spin threads for tzitzis with a shinui. He's allowed to. We said he rolls the fibers along his leg to make threads that he can use for tzitzis. So the Gemara says Tanan Rabbanan. A person is allowed to spin by rolling the fibers on his leg. So he's allowed to do that as Rabbi Yehuda said in order to make tchelas for his tzitzis. There are Rishonim who learn that it means it's only tchelas, but not the white threads, because there are many more of those. But other Rishonim say that no, it means tzitzis threads generically. Just the Gemara often uses the word tchelas generically to mean tzitzis. Anyway, so he's allowed to do that. Avaloiba Evan, but he's not allowed to use a stone for that purpose. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. The way they used to do it in those days is when you're spinning thread, you want to make sure when you're spinning thread that the fibers stay, that the fibers are stretched out. So that way, when you're spinning it, that way afterwards the spun thread will hold together better. So what would you do to stretch it out? One way would be you tie a rock to the end of it, and that'll weigh the one end of it down. And now when you're spinning it, now it'll be stretched taut. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're not allowed to do that during Chalamoyed because you have to do it with a shinui, and that would be doing it the regular way. The Chum say you are allowed to use a stone. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishmoy, and then Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, the Evan Avaloi Bepelach, that what Rabbi Eliezer means is you're allowed to use a stone, but what you're not allowed to use is a pelach, which is a spindle, which is the regular keli that you would use. In other words, there's three possibilities of spinning thread. You can use the most usual way that you would usually do is you use a pelach, which is a spindle, is a contraption that has a long piece of wooden stick. It has a hook at the end of it, and you use that to spin thread. So that would be the usual way. Then you have the way where you tie a stone to the end of the threads in order to stretch them out, and you spin them that way, which is not as usual as using a spindle, but still it's a more usual way than just spinning them by rubbing them along your leg. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Rabbi Eliezer would allow you to Rabbi Yehuda is saying in the name of Rabbi Eliezer that unlike the first version of Rabbi Eliezer we had who said you can't use a stone, Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to use a stone, avaloi bepelach, but you can't use a spindle. V'chamim bein be'evan bein bepelach, and the chachamim say you could use either one. So who is the halacha like? Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, v'chein Amar Rabbi Chiya ba'aba Amar Rabbi Yechanan, halacha bein be'evan bein bepelach. The halacha is like the last opinion, that on Chalamoyed, when you need threads for tzitzis, you're allowed to spin them whether with a, either by using a stone to stretch them out or even using a spindle. The halacha, and also the halacha was what we had discussed earlier in the Gemara, kosev kedauke umoicha kedei panasase, that a person is allowed to write tefillin, is allowed to write tefillin and mezuzahs during Chol HaMoed the normal way and sell enough for his parnasa, which according to what we said, the Rashi had said that that means we're not talking about where he has nothing to eat for Chol HaMoed, we're talking about where he wants harvacha, he wants to earn a little extra to be able to celebrate Yom Tov better than he'd be allowed to. Or other Rishonim learn that it means that that only if ein lei mayochel, only if he doesn't have what to eat, then he would be allowed to, but otherwise not. So that completes that piece of Gemara that we missed out yesterday.